Amen. Jesus is merciful. He was and he is. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55, the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Go ahead and grab a hold of that. And boy, we had a great day today, I tell you. I went home looking for some boxes to break. Man, all those boxes, you had a lot of boxes to break open there, Brother Montgomery. Amen. All right, as you find that, I love hearing those pages turn. Can we all agree to something? Can we all agree that doing right is always right? Amen. And can we agree that God expects for us to do right? Amen. Amen. Sometimes there comes a time when, I'll say it this way, when doing the right thing is not enough. It's not enough. What do you mean, Brother Cheney? Well, sometimes doing the right thing, like giving tithes and offering, is the right thing. But to do it with a heart that's not cheerful, doing it out of, you know, because nobody else would do it, that's not right. God loves a cheerful giver. When driving a car, it's doing the right thing to drive a car. But breaking the speed limit, that gets you a ticket. You know, eating food is the right thing to do. But eating food without chewing it will get you choked. Doing the right thing, it's right. There's a time when just doing the right thing alone is not enough. Praying is right. But praying to the wrong person is wrong. You pray to God. Praying to myself is wrong. The praying is right, but praying to myself is wrong. Remember the guy praying to himself, stood up? Praying with your eyes closed, you say that's doing the right thing, but praying with your eyes closed while you're driving, that gets you killed. You're with me. You're with me. In Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 8. Verse 8 and 9. It says, "But my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." I titled a message tonight, excuse me, "Doing the Right Thing the Right Way." Doing the right thing the right way. God's way is the right way. God's way is a holy way. God's way is the straight way. God's way is the honest way. God's way is the harmless way. God's way is a humble way. So, praise the Lord, we're doing the right thing. But let's check ourselves and be sure that we're doing the right thing the right way. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll jump right into it. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ for first and foremost. And I pray that you help us tonight. I pray that you give us something tonight. You fed us good this morning in Sunday school. You fed us good in the 11 o'clock service. You fed us good with the music that told forth the word of God. We ask you, Lord, to help us one more time tonight. Meet with us again tonight. We'll be careful to give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes we do the right thing the wrong way. The right thing must be done the right way to be successful. In fact, doing the right thing is God's way. Doing the right thing should be a goal for a pastor, for a Sunday school teacher, for preacher, deacons, ministry leaders, parents, teenagers, singles. Church members should have a goal of wanting to do the right thing. And the underscore is to do the right thing the right way. Turn over to 1 Chronicles 15. And let's take a look at something. Let's look at verse 1 to 3 and maybe lay out a few things here. This is David. David now has, he was king over Judah. And now he's king over all Israel. They came in chapter 12 and came to him. And now he's king over everything. And you remember he had desired in chapter 13, he had desired to bring the ark of the Lord up, and he consulted with all the men, the leadership, and that was the right thing to do, and everybody agreed that it was the right thing to do, but it wasn't done the right way. Well, let's pick up here verse 1 of chapter 15. Let's read down to verse 3. And David made his house in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. This is the second time around now. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levite. That means no donkeys, no ox, none but the Levite. Okay? And he goes on to say, for them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. Now, that's a calling without repentance. I'd like to say about that. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto the place, because it wasn't in the place it's supposed to be, to place which he had prepared for it. David had done the right thing the wrong way 3 months earlier. God did not accept the wrong way. Can I tell you, God still today doesn't accept the wrong way. He does not accept the wrong way. We cannot get away with the wrong way. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It will be found out. You can't get away. And God shut down the doing of it in chapter 13. He just shut it down. Sometimes today, God will shut something down because it's not being done the right way. Now, David is ready to do it God's way. David learned from it. It's good to learn from doing wrong. And it's good to learn from doing the right thing, but doing it the wrong way. It's time to get it right. I don't know what's going on in your life today, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your ministry, Sunday school class, in your or whatever you're associated with in your business. But God wants us to do it the right way. There's a right way. Perhaps you have been doing the right thing the wrong way. Perhaps you've been rearing your children the wrong way. It's the right thing to rear. It's the right thing to be married. The right thing to be a bride, be a husband, be a parent. But God wants us to be that the right way. Maybe the right thing did not work right for you the first time. Or maybe the second time you tried it. I want to say now, perhaps, you need to try it again. Some people give up on the right thing. Some people quit on church. Some people quit in their relationships, friendships, and associations with certain people, even on their business, if you would, venture. Career seeking, education. You quit college, you quit, and people quit sometimes. Well, have you thought maybe you could have been doing something the wrong way? It's easy to point the finger. But doing a spiritual thing does not make you spiritual. Doing a holy thing is not the same as being holy. God wants us to do it the right way. It may be time for someone here tonight to try it again. Just do it again. Business, education, career, maybe marriage. Maybe God might speak to you and say, I want you to marry. Because sometimes we can be stuck in the past failures and horror of things. And a lot of that comes with something's being done the wrong way. God might speak to you and say, I want you to do it again and do it my way this time. David decided to do it again. Did he not? But he decided to do it the right way. This time with the right people. This time with the right preparation. Like I was saying Saturday about courtship, I used to do all the pre-marriage counseling and courtshipping, getting people set up with courting. You know, I know some people call it dating, but my thing was to get them courting to see if they really fit, if they're good for one another, and just learn some things that they can bring back and we can counsel with, and, you know, just, and I set those up. Because some people date the wrong way. Some people go into marriage the wrong way. What do you mean? Lack of preparation. Lack of commitment. And sometimes the wrong people. You can be unequally yoked too, right? So God wants us to do the right thing the right way. Maybe it's time to try that business again. Maybe somebody's watching online and you've given up on something. Something that is right. Because you might think it's just not right for you, even though it's right. But perhaps you did the right thing the wrong way. And God is saying, I want you to do it again. I want you to try it again. I want you to go back out on deputation again. I want you to call them again. And I want you to do it my way. There's three things I see here in this passage that I like for us to consider about doing the right thing the right way. And the first one is in verse 14. I won't be long now, because you really got the message. It says here in verse 14 of chapter 15, make sure I'm in the right. I got the right Bible, okay, let me make sure I got the right. You never know sometimes. I used to have the job of checking the Bible, make sure it was the right Bible before they even came to the pulpit and preached. That's how serious we were about it in the 80s. Oh, it don't sound right to it. It's better to do that than have to come and clean it up afterwards. So verse 14 says this. So the priests and the Levites did what? They didn't do that the first time. It's all mixed in with animals and other people, and everybody was just wasn't sanctified. So God is saying, I want you to do this thing. I want you to get sanctified. They sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. What do you mean? First of all, they set themselves apart. And that's what God wanted. They cleaned themselves up for this task, for this ministry, for this job, music, preaching, teaching, ushering, holding the door, sounds, orchestra, marriage. It's good to clean up before you marry. It's good to clean up in our lives some things. Before counseling someone else, clean up. Get sanctified. Set apart, holy. So the first thing we see is that if you want to do the right thing the right way, you got to do it spiritually. And spiritually is holy, set apart. Don't do it the world's way, on the gold, whatever the cart with the whatever. I know it looks good. Everybody else wants. Don't do music the world way. And we don't. I want you to do it God's way. I know the best-selling book out there might have some great ideas. Might be the five love language. But hold on now. Let's go back and do it God's way. Because doing the right thing the wrong way, it's doing something that's the world way, doing something that's the devil's way, doing something that's my way. Got to do it God's way, which means I have to set myself apart to God. I have to set something, I have to clean up the inside and the outside of God's house. I have to clean up some things. Set some things apart, set my mind apart, okay? That's where we messed up, because you thought it before you ever did it. I need to set my heart apart, because that's where the words come from. No, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, yes, you did. You came out of there. But if we set that apart, then it doesn't come out of it. And so God is saying there's a preparation. There's a right way, and the right way is a spiritual way before becoming spiritual before doing a spiritual thing. I want you to think about that, because there's a lot of people in the choir. But how many in the choir are actually spiritual? You have to ask yourself that. So a lot of people come behind a wooden pulpit and preach and say things they shouldn't be saying, whether it be jokes or whatever. It's not spiritual. That's not set apart. I don't even have my sermon set apart. And so we need to really take notice of doing the right thing, preaching the right way. Teaching professors, instruct the right way. I mean, husband leading our wife, leaving our wives the right way. Parenting the right way. It's not my way, my opinion. Well, let me tell you what I think. I mean, it's not that. That's not God's way. I need to set my mind apart. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Proverbs 16:3. Okay? That's the first thing. Look at the second thing. It's amazing. They got spiritual. It wasn't spiritual when they brought it up the first. They was doing a spiritual thing, but they wasn't spiritual. They was doing something holy and sacred, but they wasn't holy. Check yourself. I have to check myself and make sure that I'm not just doing something spiritual. I'm not just performing. I'm not saying hypocrite. I'm not saying being act, but just doing the performing what I have to perform. I need to make sure that I'm being something for God. Not just doing something for God, but I want to be something for God. I want to be an instrument of righteousness. I want to be a holy vessel. I want to be a channel of blessing. And let God put the blessings through there. Let God fill the holy vessel up and pour it out like that. Are you with me? We're not just doing. Matter of fact, we're not human doings. We're called human beings. And so God wants us to be holy. God wants us to be humble. He wants us to be meek. He wants us to be kind, be righteous. He wants us to be just. He wants us to be right. He wants us to be spiritual. Somebody in here, a group this big, you're doing the spiritual thing, but you're not being spiritual. You might not be getting prepared before you come to choir practice, church. Preach. I mean, yeah, there's a preparation in practicing, but then there's a preparation before I come to practice. Do I bring my heart or leave my heart at home? Am I even set apart for practice? Anyway, second thing. Look at verse 15. So they get the sanctification together. They get sanctified now. They set apart now. Now look what they do next. Verse 16. And the children of Levi bared the ark of God upon their shoulders. Let me just stop there and say, put your shoulder in it. Put some work in it. Okay? Let's not be lazy and slothful. Let's put some work in it. Let's work hard at it. But let me read on. That kind of caught me right there. With the staves thereof and, which they were supposed to have been using. As Moses commanded, according to what? Word of the Lord. Now they're getting scriptural. They're getting spiritual. And they're getting scriptural. And they're seeking to do it. David was seeking to be spiritual. He was striving and seeking to do it spiritually than do it scripturally. That requires effort. That requires focus, determination, not being distracted, planning it. Like you say, planning to serve and planning to give. And if something messes up the plan, reschedule to give and reschedule to serve and reschedule to love and reschedule to encourage someone and reschedule to be in church. Scripturally. So I have to say about that. But this requires study to show thyself approved. This requires working hard, not just getting up preaching, not just coming to the Sunday school class teacher and winging it. This requires that preparation, diligence, hard work. See, it's easy to put that cart on the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. But it's different when it's on your shoulder. And so we need to get this ministry, if you don't have it, you need to get up under it with your shoulder. Not just watching it pass by. Not just sitting on an ox or on the car, on a whatever, the wagon, and when it moves, reach over and grab the, you don't have to grab it when it's on the rings and the stake and it's on your shoulder. You're not reaching over to grab it, or you're not reaching over to grab an ox. You know who you reach over and grab? Your brethren. Your brethren stumble, you grab your brethren and hold them up. That's different. That's different, but you got to do it the right way so you can be there to grab your brethren. We need to be spiritual. We need to be scriptural. And I know we know this, but are we that in our ministries? Are we that when we go home? Because we can come here and do our performance. I'm not saying act like we're something we're not. And then go home and be a whole different person. Go home, be a whole different parent. No consistency. When we're spiritual, there's consistency. It's faithfulness. And it's scriptural. Now let's move on. We get to this last one. Get you out of here, okay? Somebody said they was going to buy me a steak dinner if I could cut my sermon back 10 minutes. Now I'm not going to do that, because that wouldn't be doing the right thing the right way, but I do want that steak dinner. Put that rain check on that one. Okay? But look at verse 16. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers. Everybody's not singing this time like before. It's a different group. With the instruments, the muskets, and the psalms, and all those things, Brother Mark Montgomery know about the harp symbols. He taught all that stuff. He knows. That's why we got him. Pastor chose him. Okay? And you. Not Cheney. Because he don't even know what to do with that stuff. I know how to run a lap. I know how to run a lap around here. That's it. I'd be holding myself down. I'd be strapping myself down over in that chair. But he talked with them, and look what he says. He and the heart and the cymbals and the sounding by lifting up the voices. How? I hope when you're in the choir, I hope you have joy. I hope you bring joy with you. I hope you're just not there doing the right thing. I hope you do the right thing the right way. Now, some people not going to get in the choir. You know why? Because they don't want to practice. They don't want the preparation. They don't want the work. That's a whole nother message. I'm talking about the ones that's there. The other ones, you're not even doing the right thing. God's telling you he wants you to preach. He's telling you he wants you to surrender to preaching, surrender to music, surrender to purity. When you get married, to be pure, and he's laying things on you, and you're wrestling with that. You're wrestling with the right thing, doing the right thing. And tonight, you need to just, God, I want to do the right thing, because that's the first step before you even get here. Some of you know you need to be a Sunday school teacher, and you're pushing back. You got to do the right thing first, okay? And I tell you, once we become spiritual, we do the right thing. Once we become scripture, we start to do the right thing. You see, it goes together. But right here, let's look at this lesson right here. I want to get y'all out of here. All right. At 16, look what he's talking about now. With joy. Verse 22. Before I give you the point there. Verse 22. And who is this guy? Shania? How you say his name? That guy. Yeah, him. Chief of the Levites was for song. He instructed. We're not winging the music. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some instruction about the songs we sing. Why is all this happening? And why do we choose him? Because he was what? Skillful. Here's the third thing. First, we need to be spiritual, scriptural, and skillful. You need to be skillful at what you do. Everybody have a gift, and you need to practice your gift. Got the gift of preaching? You got to preach. You say, well, they don't let me preach. Go out on the street and preach. Go somewhere and preach. You got to preach. You got the gift of governments and business. You got to do business. You just got to do it God's way. Just got to do it God's way. In this music thing here, the music has to be done the right way. The gift has to be used the right way. You have the gift, you got to get the skill. David had, the Bible says, skills and integrity. When we talked about integrity, he didn't just have skills. He had skills and integrity. And it said God was with him. Spiritual, scriptural, and skillful. David. Okay, want to be like David, want to be like Moses, but you got to be skillful at what you're doing. You might have to go on the backside of the desert to learn how to, you know, work with as a pastor. You might have to, I mean, whatever. But I'm just saying, you got to work on the skill. You got to come to practice. You got to work hard. You got to learn how to sound. So you got to, you know, and some people don't want to do that, so they're wasting. What it said, is the friend, the slugger, is the friend or the... Is he a waster or something like that? Anybody read that verse in the Bible about the slugger or the slothful person? It's like the brother of a waster. So the lazy person that don't want to do anything, they're wasting. It's just wasting opportunity, wasting away, wasting treasures laid up in heaven. It's just wasting. So if you're here and you're not doing nothing, you need to find something to do. Just pray and ask God to give you something to do. Everybody can do something. Like the lady in the who's the lady in the that prayed for 80 years? She was 80 years old or something. Her ministry was prayer and fasting. Hannah, what was her name? Anna? Pray. Do something. Skillful. Skillful. Work on the skills. I like our church because I see this. I see this. This is like really preaching to, like you say, to the choir. But in a group this big, there's somebody coasting. There's somebody just showing up because they have a responsibility. And when they show up, they're not really prepared. They're showing up and they're not sanctified. They're not really set apart for it. Their minds might not even be here. Their heart might not even be here. And then on the other hand, they're not even scriptural about it. And you want to do it your way. And see, when we're scriptural, guess what? As a one accord. When we're scriptural, spiritual and scripture, it's a oneness. It's a unity. It's not gossip and busybody. It's not sowing discord. It's different. It's different. And so we need to think about that and be that. Now, look at this thing in conclusion here. Look at verse 25 in conclusion. Watch what happened. David's doing all this. He's setting it up as a leader. A father, we need to make sure this is set up in a home. Hey, we're going to be scripture about this. I don't care what they're doing down the street. I don't care what the next door neighbor doing. I don't care what the other person in church doing. We're going to be spiritual. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Look, we're going to be spiritual. We're going to be scripture. And we're going to be skillful. Some fathers need to, you know, say that here today and just, you know, man up, if you would. But look what happens when we do that in verse 25. So David and the elder in Israel, elders and Israel, and the captains, this is leadership, over thousands, went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Man, we need to come to church on Sunday with joy. We need to go out soul winning with joy. We need to come to music practice. We need to come, we need to choir. We need to do what we do with joy. They did it with joy. They didn't just sing with joy. They went up to bring it up with joy. They was happy about it. And this is the second time. This is because they have an opportunity. This is redeeming the time. And so look what happened. It says in verse 26, the first part of verse 26, and it came to pass. Now this is it right here, guys. It came to pass when God did what? Help the Levite. He didn't help them when they was doing it the wrong way. See, he might have not helped you when you was doing it the other way, the world's way, your way, the friend's way, the other people on the job way, the other businessmen way. You follow what I'm saying? No. Now that they're doing it his way, he get in on it. God got in on it. God, he moved in on them. You understand what I'm saying? God gets in it. Look, Levi, look what God. God helped the Levites that did what? Bear the ark. He helped them better than the ox could help them. God can do more for us than man can do, or angels or animals or anybody. God got in on it. And when God get in on it, he's going to help you this time. Maybe you couldn't have a child. Maybe maybe God might say, try to have a child again. Try it again. I don't know what's going on. But maybe somebody, look, God might say, look, I've seen this happen many a time. Try it again. Just try it again. Because if God get in on it, it's miracles. When God come in on the little fishes and the loaves, it's miracles. When God come in on the Red Sea, it's parted, it's dry land, the walls of Jericho fall flat. When God get in on it, hey, we just got to do it the right way. And God would get in on it. And he helped them. He helped them. God will help us when we do the right thing the right way. We want God to come in to our marriages, to our homes, to our ministry. We want God to come into our Sunday school classes. We want God to come into our life, our decision-making process. We want God to come in and help us. Every head bowed, every eye closed.